I'm going to talk about the unhappy holidays at Christmas today. If the Disney character Scrooge is any indication, many people experience Christmas as the unhappy holidays. As one guy said it, we have no money for gifts, I don't have a job, I feel like I'm Job's twin. It's the unhappy holidays this year. I'm tired of hearing happy holidays. Well, if you read the story of the birth of Christ, Jesus came to earth bursting into history as God's son. He arrived on the scene that first Christmas in a world of political tension. That was the days when the Romans and the Jews were at odds over politics. It's the days of Caesar Augustus, and he was at odds with the civic life of the people in Jerusalem and the surrounding Judean countryside in towns like Bethlehem. Jesus' birth delivered a new kind of reign. Okay, one different from the powerful Caesar Augustus. The book of Revelation here, meaning the book on its whole here, in its simplest form, and particularly our message today, provides three things. Visions full of images portraying the future. It's an appeal to God's people in the churches to renew their call to follow Jesus. And it gives God's plan for daily living, even in the midst of political turmoil and terror. Today, these six verses tell us about Christmas. Well, these six verses will tell us about Christmas in an effort to reverse the unhappy holiday and make the days merry and bright instead. And we start by looking back into Christmas in the first couple of verses and at God's plan. These first two verses, God's plan. Read those first two verses with me. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain and was about to give birth. You know what? It's a story of a virgin and a child to be born and the pain of labor. In two simple sentences here, the writer of Revelation, who is the Apostle John, he's on the island of Patmos, reveals the history of Christmas. A virgin, Mary, gives birth to a child. The child comes into the world through pain and labor. The child arrives in simplicity in a stable stall in Bethlehem, in quietness, beneath a star. Now, in our text today here, verse 1 mentions 12 stars. Yeah, it mentions a woman, but it mentions 12 stars. Okay, no doubt the 12 stars are a reference to the nation of Israel, 12 tribes of Judah. Okay, so it's a reference to the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And that's important because it was through Israel that Jesus, the Messiah, was supposed to come. It makes me think of Paul writing to the Romans, the book of Romans, in chapter 1 and in verse 3. Paul, when he wrote that letter to them, talked about the gospel of God. He talked about the gospel of God. Listen to this. Promised through his prophets, meaning the guys in the Old Testament, promised through his prophets beforehand in the Holy Scriptures. So, the point there is that the gospel of God was promised by the prophets beforehand in the Holy Scriptures. And regarding his son and his earthly life, and the idea that he was to be a descendant of David, that David being King David from the tribe of Judah. So, Paul talked to the Roman church about how all of that was prophesied by the prophets. And then later on in chapter 9 of Romans in verses 4 and 5, he talked about how God worked through the people of Israel. And how through the patriarchs, we're talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by working in and through them, it was traced the human ancestry of the Messiah. So working through them, and implied in that was God's plan of salvation through Abraham. You remember Genesis 12 there? Okay, Genesis 12, 1, he was going to make him into a great nation. And out of him, of course, the Messiah would come. That would be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus came down to earth. When he came down to earth, he was born from Mary. He came down to earth here and was born fully man, but yet he was fully divine. Theologians call it the incarnation, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. John the Apostle says in his first chapter in the 14th verse that when he came full of grace and truth. I love that verse. He came full of grace and truth. Well, he came with truth to reveal to the people how they could know God the Father and could know him, and came full of grace because he came prepared to work in the lives of the people. When God does grace in your life, he's working in your life. So he came full of grace and full of truth. He came to reveal God to mankind and to work in the people's lives. And history records Jesus as a man who divided time. He literally came as the Christ, and he came down to earth and delivered this salvation to all who would believe, every man, woman, and child. He came to earth and he lived and he died on a cruel cross. But he didn't just stay on that cross. Eventually, he rose. He rose again. And why did he do all this? He came to bring new life. Eternal salvation. And of course, salvation, we needed saving. We needed to be saved from our own sin. And the thing about Christ is, when he came, he made all things new. He made all things new. Christ makes all things new. Now, I don't know where you're at in life today. I'm not sure. You know, you know everything that goes on in your life, and if there, you know, I don't know everything going on in your life, but you know everything going on in your life. I just know that when Christ came, he made all things new, and the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that if anybody's in Christ, meaning a believer in Christ, that he's a new creation, and it says that the old has gone and the new has come. I just love that verse. The old is gone and the new has come. If you're in Christ, he came to change things. He changes you. The old you becomes a new you. I like the words of this Massachusetts preacher, Philip Brooks. I'm talking the 1800s here, so I never met the man. But he said, the earth has grown old in its burden of care, but at Christmas, it's always young. Think about that. The earth has grown old. It's a burden of care. But at Christmas, it is always young. Wow. There's something special about Christmas. History. Christmas. It unveils the drama of Jesus' birth into this world. And it's exciting. But yet at the same time, Christmas time, we think of the birth of Jesus. It's simple. Christmas arrives in simplicity. Yet it arrives in glory because he is the Messiah, and there's a lot of splendor that goes with it. And it's all happening at the same time. God's child with these little small fingers and these little hands, yet these hands are God's hands, and they're holding the world in his hands. So at Christmas time, which is where we're at, you know, it's a time for us to look back. I want you to think for a moment about your favorite Christmas. Think for a moment about your maybe some special Christmas memory. Was it walking the peaceful streets in the days when people still walked and you heard the music playing from the local church when you were going by? Or is it like me about 10 years ago when I'm pastoring the church up north beyond the Adirondacks and you can see Canada, and I take the family, my wife and my four children out, and we go to one of the local farms and we saw down our tree, our Christmas tree. And of course we put it on the Ford Taurus station wagon and we drive down Route 11B, heading back to this place called Brushton, New York, in the North Country, and it's cold. And as we're driving, and it's on top, you know, you're not supposed to see the trees start to come over to the left. You're not supposed to see it out the window going to the right. And it's time to pull over, you know, and I'll never forget this. So we pull over. That tree was flapping all over the place here, and all of a sudden this truck pulls up. It's a guy named Donnie Langdon. And I know Donnie Langdon. Donnie Langdon doesn't even come to church on a regular basis, but some of his family does. But Donnie Langdon pulls over and, "Pastor, you need any help?" And of course I did. So he helped me secure the tree. Okay, just a Christmas memory. And Donnie Langdon would, by the way, would come to church. And I can't tell you he'd come every Sunday, but he was a friend. Helped me secure the tree that day. And my kids never forget that. They'll never forget that story. And of course, my favorite Christmas one is my third daughter was born. And actually, my wife was supposed to go into labor on Christmas. She didn't come till the 26th. But Christmas memories, folks. Think for a minute what Christmas means to you. What Christmas means. The newness of it. The freshness of it. It's the happiest of holidays. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. There's a reason for that. And the reason for that is we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We call these the holidays. Well, you know what? The holidays are happy when we look back at Christmas, particularly when we think of that first Christmas. When we look back at that first Christmas and we think of the present Christmas, we rediscover the freshness and the newness of Christ's love. His mission to come to earth and be born as a baby, because he had plans for our lives. We needed to know him. We needed to have our sin covered by what would eventually be his shed blood on the cross. So the good news of Christmas, he comes to lift burdens. Whose burdens? Our burdens. Christ came to lift burdens. He came during a time of Roman oppression with the Jews. He came to lift burdens. And that'll bring a special excitement when you think of Christmas and you think of it that way. An exciting freshness. It's kind of like those white snowflakes that might come down on Christmas Day. You know, a white Christmas. But when Jesus came, he didn't come without tension. There was tension. He didn't come at a time with no anxiety or problems in the world. Just like us today, we got a lot of that. Well, he didn't come at a time with no anxiety or problems. Okay? Yeah, that was God's plan that he came, but he came at a time when there was, when we look back at the reality of that first Christmas, there was struggle going on. There was struggle going on. Verses 3 to 5 there, the first part of verse 3 to 5a, there covers that tension. Look at those verses with me. It says, "Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born." I'm just going to pause for a minute, because the woman, think of the nation of Israel, think of Mary, and think of the child to come as Jesus, and that dragon wants to devour the child the moment he's born. Verse 5:8, "She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter." Well, the image provided there is of a fiery red dragon. When you think of a fiery red dragon, think of fierce. And that fiery red dragon opposed the birth of this woman's child. Now, I'm not explaining all the depth and detail of all these verses today, and I'm certainly not going to explain the depth and the detail of the red dragon, but in simplest terms, can I tell you today, the red dragon, he's the devil. He represents the devil, or Satan himself. Not that I want to focus on it, but even down in verse 9 there, calls him that ancient serpent, called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. So it tells you down in verse 9, that's the devil, that's Satan. And you know what he symbolizes? He symbolizes opposition to the woman, the child that's going to be born from the woman, and that child is the Messiah, the baby of the Lord Jesus Christ. He symbolizes opposition to that child. So what I'm trying to tell you is that first Christmas, when the child was born, the Christ child was born, Satan was there to get him. In a sense, it refers back all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Remember the snake there in the garden there and tempted Adam and Eve there, you know, Genesis 3:6 there, where they told them, look at the fruit, and then the lust of the flesh came into play because they saw that the food was, that it was good food for the body. And then the lust of the eyes, because they saw that it was pleasing for the eyes, and they had the pride of life, because remember the serpent had said, wow, that God doesn't want you to eat it, because then you'll be just like him. Okay, so the pride of life kicked in because they wanted to gain wisdom. The result was in chapter 13 that there would be enmity between the woman's child, meaning Eve, a future child, not her literal child, but a future child of the woman. There would be enmity between the serpent and the woman. That's what Jesus told him. Looked at the serpent and said, because of what you have done, there'll be enmity between you and the woman, meaning her seed to come, the child, which would be the Christ. So the red dragon in the text here stands in opposition to Jesus Christ, is what I'm trying to tell you. And it also serves as an inference for you and I today that guess what? He's alive and well, that red dragon. Satan's alive and well, and he's here on earth, and he's doing his thing. We're approaching Christmas next week. Well, you know what? The reality of Christ's coming was the reality that the reality of Christ's coming was the reality that the early churches experienced on a daily basis. And that reality was that Satan was out to destroy the Christ child. He was out to destroy the Christ child. He was out to destroy the church. That's what he would have done if he could. He would have destroyed the child. He would have destroyed the church. And we're still experiencing that today. He's out to get us. The church experienced a war against the culture of that day. I've already told you the Romans and the Jewish nation and the people of God who would put their faith in the Lord Jesus, they would become the church, the believers. So there was always tension between the red dragon, Satan, the devil, give him any name you want to give him, and the people of God. And at the same time with the people of God, there's always an internal war with our own sin. Let's understand that we're born with a sin nature just like Adam and Eve, and so we have sin in our human heart. We have our own battle in that way as well. But the devil's also out there looking to wreak havoc. So the drama of Revelation here, which is a picture of what was going on that first Christmas, it's a powerful image of the red dragon. It's the same red dragon that Peter warned the scattered church. Peter in 1 Peter 5:8 said, your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion and he wants to devour you. That's what Peter told the church. It was a warning. Well, he's still out there and he still wants to devour us. But you know what? He wanted to devour Jesus when Jesus was born. Guess what? He missed him. He did. He missed him. You remember Herod? Remember Jesus was born? And the magi or the wise men from the east saw the star, so they followed the star and they came seeking the child, and they stopped off at Herod's palace and they saw Herod and said, we're here to see the Messiah, the newborn king. And you know what Herod's response to that was. Oh, well, go and find the child that I may worship him. Well, we know from the scripture that Herod had no intention of worshiping him. He actually wanted to kill him. That's the background. So what he did was he sent his soldiers to the community of Bethlehem and said, kill all the babies 2 and under. All because those wise men or magi said they came to worship the newborn king. Well, in his flesh, he didn't want any other king. The devil was working then, but he missed Jesus because Mary, Joseph, and Jesus had fled to Egypt. I feel bad for the babies that were left in Bethlehem, though. You know what? There was a battle going on that first Christmas, and there's still battle. There's still a battle going on. And the devil, the red dragon there, he wants to destroy hearts. He would destroy your heart if he could. He would destroy your home if he could. He would destroy any plans you have. He would destroy any hopes you have. He would destroy any dreams you have. And you know what? You have all of that if you have Jesus. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a plan for you. You have a home here now. You have a home in eternity with him someday in heaven. The devil would love to destroy all that. He wanted to destroy it at the first Christmas when he through Herod, sent those soldiers out to kill the Christ child. Now, I just want you to breathe for a minute while I get a drink here. I want you to think about all that's gone on in the past year. I know that's a lot. Okay, so you have to take it all in. I mean, think about the past year, and I mean, we don't know right now. The economy, right? And do I have to say the economy again? How much have you heard about the economy? Of course you've heard about the economy. Every time you write a check, you know about the economy. Okay, every time you get the credit card bill, you know about the economy. So there's the economy. What else have we had the last year? Political bickering. You know, we had the Romans and the Jews. Well, have we had a little bit of political bickering the last year? You bet we have. Okay? You know what else we've had? We have a disrespect for human life. You see, if you notice, I mean, people just have no respect for life anymore. We have children shooting their mother because the mother didn't order something from Amazon. We have people just marching into rooms and killing four people for no apparent reason at all. Just there's a culture out there right now. There's no respect for life. Senseless violence, murders. In the meantime, the politicians argue. You know what's going on? I ask you to think about it, because if we're honest, guess what? Last year, you know what? They always talk about the Dow Jones Industrial was up 200 points today. You know what else has been up this year? The anxiety index. The anxiety index. The anxiety index is rising and it's climbing. The Dow Jones may go down, but anxiety seems to just climb. We got people out there promoting racial tension and disunity. They're talking about it, but what they're really doing, they're promoting it, is what they're really doing. They're promoting sexual perversion. That's what the Bible says in Romans there. They're calling what is good evil and what is evil good. The anxiety index is going up, folks. Well, they had tension back at that first Christmas, and there's still tension now. Tension swirls in our world. You know what the result of all that is? The result of all that is anger. You got bitterness. You got broken relationships. You got people that are feeling shattered hopes. All because, you know who's behind it all, though? The red dragon. The red dragon, Satan, the devil himself. I mean, seriously, these people that do things and make laws and enact things and you know it's evil, well, you know who's behind it? The dragon is Satan, the devil, because he's evil. And he is the great distractor. That's what he does. Sleight of hand. Yeah, at times our struggles here as people, mankind, you know, men, women, our struggle is our own sin and our own flesh, and we all struggle with that. That's why we needed Jesus to come, so he could pay the penalty for our sins, and we could put our faith in him and receive eternal life. Yeah, so we have our own struggles, but as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, hopefully we're having victory in our daily walk with the Lord, because we can overcome all of that. But also, the devil's out there, and he's wreaking havoc. He's wreaking havoc in the lives of people, causing them to call what is evil good and what is good evil. That's why Christ came the first Christmas. To restore things that were broken. To comfort people that felt battered. To lift up people who were fallen down. To remove the anger. And you know what he wanted to replace all that with? He wanted to renew people's dreams. Give people new hope. That's what Christmas is about. He wanted to turn the unhappy holidays into the happy, holy days of Christmas. That's what he wanted to do. Now, I don't know what your reality is today. I don't know how much tension you have in your life. Maybe you have a little, maybe you have medium, maybe you have a lot. Okay. But I just know that in general, the world is filled with all sorts of tension. A lot of tension in the world. But Christ came to bring peace. He was born that first Christmas. He came to bring peace. He wanted people to have peace with God. That meant getting your sin issue right. That's why he was willing to go and die on the cross. He's born as a baby so he could live an earthly life, so he could teach people. But then ultimately his destiny was the cross, where he would shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. But we had to put our faith and our trust in him. That's when we become, when we do that and we say, I'm going to follow you from now, that's when we become those new creations in Christ Jesus. Jesus came that first Christmas to change things, to bring peace with us, so that we could have peace with God and peace with him and spend an eternity with him. And if we know that, guess, you know what we have then? Then we have this thing called hope. We have this thing called hope. And then he teaches and he gives us this special kind of love that's worth having and enjoying. He gives us peace, he gives us hope, and he gives us love. The kind of love that does what's in the best interest of other people. That kind of love. All of that from Jesus that first Christmas. I mean, a lot of people, when he was born that first Christmas, his birth was frightening. It was. It was frightening. Because if he's not your Savior, then you can't know God and have peace with God. Because Jesus represented God. If you saw him and you knew him, then you knew the Father. And so for some people, his birth was frightening because they didn't want to know him or to receive him. But for those who understood or understand God's plan, his birth that Christmas was pure joy. Pure joy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German pastor, Christmas sermons. Okay, put it this way. The coming of God is not only a message of joy, but also fearful news for anyone who has a conscience. Wow. It's not only a message of joy is coming, but also fearful news for anyone who has a conscience. His message, Bonhoeffer's message, was those who reject Christ should fear. They should have fear. But those who believe in Christ, you know what the message is? Fear not. Fear not. For the believer, it's fear not. So, God had a plan that the baby would be born. Baby came at a time of struggle. That just begs a question then, with all this. Well, how are we to live today then? How shall we live today? We need to look to and trust in God's power. That's the answer to that. Look to and trust God's power. Look at verse 5 again. We're going to read the second half of it. Okay? The first part of that verse is where she gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. But the verse went on. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Well, okay, there you go. The child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Okay? Child didn't stay on earth. I already told you the child went to the cross, but then the child went to the tomb and the child rose and ascended back to God the Father. That child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Well, I asked you how we're supposed to live today. Well, Hebrews 12:2, the writer says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Some of the translations might say the finisher of our faith. How do you live? Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know where Jesus is? Right now he's with God and his throne. That's where he is. He's with God and his throne. Figuratively, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And that's where we're supposed to look. Christmas is a reminder that we are always to look to Christ. And it's always to look to Christ. And every Christmas is a reminder that we're to look to Christ. That's why we have this Advent season and celebrate His coming. Now, you know your own families, you know your own family histories, you know where you're at, where you've been, you know your family background, you know if you got bills, you know if you have a job or don't have a job, you know if you have pressures, you know what trials have come into your life. We all have them. But here's the point. Whatever is going on in your life, look to Jesus. Look to the Christ child. Right now the tension is worldwide. It's not just in your lives. It's not just in our... We got worldwide tension. We have cosmic tension. We got local tension. We got personal tension. Doesn't matter which one it is. Look to Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Want to solve the problems of the day? Politicians don't have the answer. Unless... they're looking to Jesus. And how they act, how they legislate, that's how you know if they're looking to Jesus. And if they say they're looking to Jesus, and then you see how they act, and it don't match up with this, they're probably not looking to Jesus. So that'll make you scratch your head, and why'd they do that? So if this has become for you the unhappy holidays of Christmas, look to Jesus. It's a reminder. It's all about the birth of the Savior. Look to Jesus and ask Him to make these days special, to make them holy for you. Now, this revelation here, it ends as it begins. Revealing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It does. It begins that way. He is Savior and Lord. This book here, it offers instruction in the history. We've already seen it in the text here. The tension, Roman-Jewish tension today. And the searching aspect of our lives. You got history, you got tension, and then you got the searching aspect of our lives. What do you want the rest of your life to be? That's really the question today. What is your life? Do you want it to be different? If you're already a Christian, I don't want it to be different. I just want to look to Jesus more, personally. But what do you want? What direction do you want your life to go? The text says, keep your eyes on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who's coming back. Did you know He's coming back? Yeah, He came once. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I get an amen? All right. Good. Amen. Yeah, He's coming back. Go read Revelation 22, verse 20 later on. Okay? You know what? Here, the Revelation pulls back the curtain and unveils this text here, unveils all the drama that was going on that first Christmas. Christ came to secure our future. That's what He came for. To give us strength and to give us a hope. Strength for today. Hope for tomorrow. The power of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, I think of Christmas. I also think of the lights. I like lights. I like light. I don't like dark. I think of the lights. I think of decorated trees, and I think of those ceramic manger scenes that are on pretty much every mantle. Well, I shouldn't say every mantle, but a lot of mantles, okay? But I also think of Mary and Joseph struggling into Bethlehem on that starlit night. When I think of Christmas, I think of the stable, the stall. I think of the pains of labor. I've never given it myself, but I hear there's pains. Okay. I know there's pains. I think of the sound of the baby when the baby's born, screaming into the night. The baby Jesus. I think of Christmas, I think of the angry Herod, because he doesn't want another king in the world. He doesn't want this king, this Messiah. He likes the way things are. I think of the mother giving birth and all that went with that, and the moaning. And I think of Joseph as the birth of the baby was taking place, and he's sweating. And then I think of the gentle coo of the child. I think of Christmas, I think of Revelation 12 here. The birth of a child, and at the same time, a red dragon is on the scene. But I know that out there, there's somebody called Michael. Michael the Archangel. And he is, and his forces are fighting the dragon, the red dragon, and Satan and his forces. And I think of the angels, even back that first Christmas, showing up at Christmas. Were they not there? Say amen. They were there. And then I think at the end of this book, Revelation 21, where Jesus will have obliterated all evil. Yeah, there's a day of reckoning. There can be evil today, and it's going on, and we may not like it, but there'll be a day where it will be obliterated by the Lord Jesus. Go look at Revelation 21 later on. He will obliterate the red dragon and all that he stands for, much of it of which is played out today. So Christmas doesn't have to be unhappy, and it doesn't have to be unholy. We just need to make Christmas about looking to Jesus. And you know when we're supposed to look to him? Right now. Look to Jesus and look to him now. I conclude with these words. The same ones you'll find in Revelation 22:21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Christ has come. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice.